Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo again, and coming your way. We have a piece of literature that I have written several years ago, and it's so many people want to know about baptism. There's the water baptism, and then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we really need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. It's just like the same thing as if you put a few dollars worth of gas in your car every day. You have to re-tank it up every day. If, like, for instance, if you go from Texarkana, Texas, to Fort Smith, Arkansas, it runs you about $20 round trip in an economy car these days when the gas prices are up the way they are. And then every day when we don't stop running, we must be baptized with the Holy Spirit, a new, fresh anointing every day. And so every morning people should spend the required amount of time that they need with the Lord in order to be filled with the Spirit on a daily basis so that they don't fall away from the Lord. And that's why this piece of literature is so good. And then we have several letters here. One from Pan American Television Broadcasting Company. It's just kind of a down-home little letter from the woman that's getting us on worldwide television in Africa, in the Middle East, and so on, and here in the United States, all over the world. And I'd like to add that I just, when I was in Los Angeles just a few weeks ago, I took the time to remaster the television programs that we did several years ago. We were on for 10 years, and we were the television program that changed the television ministry completely, because nobody had huge band orchestras, nobody had big choirs or anything like that. And all of them pretty much copied us. And then another thing, too, Susie did all the preaching on television, and I did a little bit of singing. And I gave my testimony now and then. But after nobody ever brought their wife on with them, and now you see husband and wife teams like crazy, now they thought it was the right thing to do. And back then, before that, everybody was wearing these old, looked like recycled newspaper suits. And, you know, putting on a they wanted people to think that they were really poor, when in fact some of them were not poor. And they were portraying themselves to just be, that was what they were trying to portray to the American public and the world, was that they were, they called it humble instead of humble. But they weren't really humble or humble. I met some of them, and they were pretty arrogant. But but we have those, and we're going to go back on television. This lady from Pan American saw some of our witnesses in San Francisco, and we all wear the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries T-shirts and sweatshirts out on the streets, and they're rhinestone. I got pretty famous by making these rhinestone jackets and clothing and stuff for James Brown and Elvis and the J.D. Sumner and the Stamps and Dolly Parton and you name the movie star, and we probably did, you know, I would say 90% of the top people, the well-known people in the world, like Tyson and Don King and all sorts of people like that. Matter of fact, I got a call from Don King just a few weeks ago. He's asking me to, inviting me to Las Vegas to be with them, and because he wanted some more jackets, these rhinestone jackets. He said, it's only you can. And God is a glitzy God, you know. He put the stars, the sun, and the moon. These are really glitzy things. And then he put the diamonds, the emeralds, the rubies, and all the beautiful flowers, and the blue seas, the oceans, and the blue sky, and the green grass, and there's like probably millions, I'm sure there's millions of colors. We just found out lately that there are literally millions of colors, and they all were made by the Lord. And so That's why we put up at Christmas time a lot of glitzy lights, and I like to make clothing that's glitzy, because in the New Old Testament, the Lord had Aaron, he had 12 different stones on his breastplate of the priest's outfit. And then in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, he tells that the New Jerusalem has 12 layers of precious stones, all different kind of stones, precious stones. And so there is a company out right now that has these 12 different stones in a cross, and they call it a New Jerusalem cross. And then they have a New Jerusalem witnessing watch, which has the 12 stones of the New Jerusalem, and then it has a lighthouse in it, and that behind the lighthouse is a picture of the world, and then it shows the beams coming from the lighthouse, which are the hands of the watch, and they're going around and around the world. It's the light of God, the Word of God, going around and around the world. And those are now, they have necklaces, 12 stones of the New Jerusalem. They have bracelets. They have the earrings with the 12 stones. I think it's really great. Some people say, oh, they shouldn't put stuff like that up. But I think it's great. These people that wear these tweed suits that are made out of recycled newspaper, so they look like it, they're not portraying God as he really is. He's a glitzy and glorious God. And the Bible says that he talks about the Shekinah glory of the Lord. He lights up the heavens, and there's billions upon billions, trillions of stars in the heaven. They twinkle like diamonds. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So let's know the real Lord and know his personality. And, you know, if you want to wear, when I saw a vision of Susie God gave me, she had lipstick on, you know, and oh my gosh, you know, all the Quakers and the what are some of these other outfits, you know, the Amish and all these other people and some of these Pentecostal people. I'm Pentecostal, but I mean, some of them are just, they have what we call a clothesline ministry. But, you know, of course, people should be dressed decently and, you know, which is decent, for women wear are totally covered and men as well, and they should be that way. But it's nothing. There's nothing wrong about being glitzy. Let me tell you that, if it's done decently. And so, but anyway, being baptized is to be baptized with the Word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is Spirit. The Word of God is God. The Word of God is Spirit, and the Word of God is our life. And so don't turn away any of the Word of God. It talks about the New Jerusalem, the sun, the moon, and the stars in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. And right at the end, it tells about the glitz. And the bride of Christ coming down, radiant and glorious. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And people should be happy that this is the way God is. And when I had a glimpse of heaven, I saw Susie and myself as we would be there, and she, believe it or not, now you Amish and all you people like that, she had ruby red lips up there, and her hair was flat, just beautifully blonde, and she had these long eyelashes, and she looked beautiful. And so it won't hurt some of you to put makeup on, because that way you won't scare your husbands in the morning, okay? Sometimes if you roll over and you haven't brushed your teeth yet and he looks at your face, it's, my God, that won't be too nice. No. All right, so you might scare him away. Well, that's why probably a lot of guys go on these hunting and fishing trips for like a month at a time. Amen?
Yeah.
Honey, I just got this wilderness in my in my soul, you know, and I go out, and I got to feel like a man. I've got to get on the hunting trip here. But anyway, let's all go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. You probably figure that he hasn't anointed it yet. But, Lord, the Lord gives me different things to say and to write. And I pray, Lord God, that you will let all the words that I say in this message this evening come right from the throne. And I pray that you'll anoint the message baptism, and people that are wondering about the water baptism, what it's all about, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what that's all about. I know there's a lot of people fighting your spirit, but Lord, I want to remind them that to fight the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and they will not believe that. But Lord, in your word, you said, receive the Holy Spirit. You blew the Holy Spirit into your disciples, and then you went on to tell them, now go to Jerusalem and tarry until you are baptized with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you blew the Holy Spirit into them, then you told them that they must be baptized with the Holy Spirit, the same as you were when John the Baptist baptized you into the water, and you came up, and the Holy Spirit came down upon you as a dove, and at that moment, when you came up from the completely submerged in the water, not sprinkled, but submerged, the Holy Spirit drove you out into the wilderness to be tested. God wanted to show the world that you would not receive anything from Satan, and that you passed the acid test, that you truly are the Messiah. You proved it by dying for our sins on the cross, shedding your precious blood so our sins could be washed away. And then you went to hell for us, and then you rose from death, hell, and the grave. And then later, the disciples and 500 people saw you ascend into the kingdom of God. Into the kingdom of God in a cloud, to show without a doubt that you are the Almighty God. You're the Son of Man and the Son of God. You're a God-man. And you became the life-giving Spirit. And when we call upon you, your spirit will descend down from the kingdom of heaven and enter into us. And now you live in millions of people. And when you have entered into us, we have power to be saved, to be born again, to be sons of God. And when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we then have the power to be in the ministry and to preach your word. And eventually, after we've been saved long enough and we learn the word long enough, we can teach the gospel and preach it. And you're doing a quick work in these last days, Lord. You have people such as myself on earth now teaching the gospel as it's never been taught before, breaking down scriptures to where people can understand it. And we pray, Lord, that through every one of these broadcasts that you will strengthen the church and give them the courage to walk in the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that they will preach to your word and not back away from Satan, but to resist Satan, and he'll flee from them. Lord, we ask that the souls, billions of them, are saved through this broadcast, and or however many it is that you will give the increase, and that the church will be the true church, the true body of Christ. Those that are the members of your body, the New Jerusalem, that will be coming back to earth soon. We ask, Lord, that you strengthen them, and we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and our soon-coming King. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so I said all these things about God, that he's a glissy God, and you can feel the power of God.
Amen.
Come down, so you know that I'm talking about the true God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now we have a letter, a down-home letter here, because we got a nice box of jellies and jams from this very nice and kind sister in the Lord. And that her mother made. Let's read that. I just thought it's so down home, you know, that I thought it'd be good to read it. Go ahead and read it.
Dear Pastor Tony and staff, I am not sure if this will reach you before Christmas, but I wanted to send you all some more of my mom's jelly preserves. It gives her great joy to have this to share. She is a country girl from Alabama. I am so blessed to have a mother like her.
Yeah, isn't that something that here is, she was raised a country girl, and her mother was a country girl. And here she is booking television time all over the world for people. And that's, I was, lived in, born in Jaffa, Missouri, raised in around Windom, Montana, Helena, Lewistown, and Billings, and places like that. And here, God can just take you on a hick, you know, like a hillbilly, or just a country girl or boy, and put you right in the limelight where you don't want to be, but you're there because of the fact that you wanted, the Lord put you there. It's just, that plain and simple. Amen?
Amen.
Just that plain and simple. Okay, now finish the letter.
She's almost 88 years old. The jelly is a mixture of pear, apple, and berry. I hope you all enjoy them, and I thank you for your partnership, understanding, and faith to share Pastor Lamo's ministry worldwide on TV and radio. Please share with all. God bless. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, Robin Boggs from Pan American Television Broadcasting.
Okay, so, you know, if you're in the neighborhood for breakfast, we'll give you a piece of toast and some of this jelly, okay? And if you're not, well, realize we'll, you know, we'll have a slice of it, and realize that we're going to be enjoying that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, it's just a little corny. Okay, then where's the next letter?
From Eldoret, Kenya, Africa.
All right.
Dear Evangelist Tony Alamo, greetings in the name of our Lord. Your sermons strengthen me and give me assurance in His imminent coming. What a joy to look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ each day and to proclaim Maranatha. I heard your program on Radio East Africa, and it has strengthened my faith. Please send me some Christian literature with Christian love, Johnson, from Eldoret, Kenya, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Where's the next letter from?
From Teshi, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear brother in Christ, greetings of love in Jesus' holy name. I have been regularly listening to your program on Radio Africa, and I want you to know how the message is helping me in my spiritual revival. We need to keep this spirit burning in our lives. I can testify that I am now a changed person in Christ since I started listening to your inspiring program. May His holy name be blessed. With warm affection in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be very much grateful if you can send me some materials, Bibles, books, and some tapes for evangelism. Thank you, your servant in the Lord, Brother Fire from Teshi, Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Amen. We get letters where people are there's like maybe hundreds of thousands of people they don't understand English, but there's somebody there that knows how to translate, and they'll play a little section of the tape, and then they'll say what I said on the tape, and then people will listen, and then all of a sudden they will hear a little bit more of the tape, and the translator will tell them more until the whole message is done. And they say, like, whole towns are getting saved in Africa, India, and many people all over the world in over 200 countries. Now, do you have other letters?
Yes, and a witnessing line response.
Here's a witnessing line response, all right.
A woman named Jacqueline from Memphis, Tennessee, heard Pastor Lamo's radio program, and she got saved. She has been attending church for many years, but didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. She wants the pastor's literature so she can grow in the Lord and learn how to serve the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Then what?
And the next letter is a letter from West Indies. Dear Pastor Tony Lamo, I greet you fraternally as well as the people from your ministry and all the Christians at the Holy Lamo Christian Church. I am happy to be writing you to tell you that I received the latest package that you sent me via the post office. It contained literature and the French Messiah book. I got all of it, and it is in my heart to distribute the literature. I caress the hope that these articles are very instructive that are included in the newsletters. I also hope and know that the comforting testimonies in Signs of the Times and Dry Bones will cause more than one person to think about their life after death, which is the most important thing to prepare for. In summary, everyone needs to know that it is imperative to follow Christ's way. It is the only way that can lead to eternal salvation, because Christ is still revealed as the only hope for the human race. I congratulate you already for this great worldwide ministry, the principal mission of which is to spread the gospel throughout the whole world. Bravo to you and your deceased wife. Your rewards will be great in heaven. Please keep sending me other literature and the pamphlet The Fighters and a Louis Segun Version Bible, which is equivalent to the King James Version Bible.
In French. Okay, and then what?
God bless you and your ministry abundantly, Brother Felipe from Haiti, West Indies.
Right, what I was going to tell you, too, is we have like 10 years of broadcasts with the big choir and the big orchestra and all that, and I've got them now on DVDs. I don't have them in town with me now to where we can reproduce them yet, but if you write in for them, I'll be sending some to you on a DVD. And so, you know, just let me know, and you'll see what started the entire ministry of all these choirs and these huge orchestras and things. And all the people in the orchestra and choirs are people that Sue and I had won to the Lord. God really started the Jesus movement through the two of us. And all the people that got saved, they learned how to go out and witness and testify to people. And millions of people have been saved since. And that is where all this Christian belief is came from. At that particular time, there the gospel was not being real gospel, was dead. You couldn't even see, people weren't even putting up lights for Christmas or anything. It's getting pretty bad now, but we're a bunch of fighters. We fight with the Word of God. But anyway, let's get into this piece of literature that I've written. I've written hundreds of them, and you can learn the Bible very well by ordering literature and tapes from me. And you can order them by emailing us at
alamoministries.com.
And also you can order them by fax. Our fax number is
479-782-7406.
Or you can write us and order them. The Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, and the address is
P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505.
And our announcer will announce that at the end of the program. All right, now the message, baptism.
Few people in the world understand what true baptism is all about. Because of this, most people are without salvation, and many people who once were saved have fallen away since they did not continue walking with Christ in baptism, leaving their faith just like the disciples in John chapter 6, verse 66, left Christ in their baptism.
Yeah, baptism means that you baptize you're showing the whole world the water baptism, is that you baptize your life now from this earthly, this worldly realm into a spiritual realm now. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit after salvation gives you the power to continue your walk so long as you receive the Spirit on a daily basis. And right now at Christmas time, we're only about, what, three or four days before Christmas, 2005. And so many people are thinking about parties and presents and shopping and all these things, and they lose sight, many of them, that they forget to get baptized with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And therefore, during this precious time of year when Christ was born, and some people will say it happened in September, and they say, how do you know that Christ was born December 25th? They say it was September. I ask them, well, how do you know that? Were you there? No. I feel an anointing at this time of the year, and there's a star in the sky that gets very bright at this time, and I know the Lord, and I believe, you know, whether it was or not, I know that He was born. Amen?
Amen.
He was born, and this just seems to be the acceptable time of the year where everyone gets together and praises the Lord and thanks Him. Of course, those of us that are born again of the Spirit, we praise the Lord on a daily basis. If you don't, if you're not, well, then you don't have any power in the Lord, because He lives in the praises of the saints. But let's continue reading.
Many people who once were saved have fallen away since they did not continue walking with Christ in baptism, leaving their faith just like the disciples in John chapter 6, verse 66, left Christ and their baptism, choosing to no longer walk with him. These disciples became antichrists.
Right. The Bible there says that Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you in no wise can enter into the kingdom of God. Well, eating his flesh means, see, he's the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible plainly states that Christ is the Word of God. So you must eat the bread of life, which is Christ, the Word. And you must drink Christ, the drink, the Holy Spirit, which is symbolized by the water, the living water. And so we must eat his flesh, in other words, eat his word, and drink his blood, and then go through whatever trials and tribulations that are created for us from before the foundation of the world, and we're able to do it by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the Word of God that lives within us. And therefore, we have to train our minds, we have to train ourselves to be filled. Our minds must be filled with Christ. We have to put on the mind of Christ. We must fill our spirit with Christ. And this, by doing so on a daily basis, this is the simple being baptized in the Word, the Spirit. That's the baptism of the Spirit. Every time I read the Bible, every time I hear the Word, if it's really a preacher of the Word, when I'm talking to the Lord, that's the Spirit, and that's the fuel I need to keep going on a daily basis. And those that continue to the end shall be saved. Amen?
Amen.
And we can't continue any more than if you run out of gas in an automobile, you can't continue until you put more gas in the tank. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, continue.
Jesus plainly stated, quote, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned," unquote. This truth, spoken by Christ himself, who is the truth, should be clear to anyone who can read or hear. Christ is not talking about water baptism at all. Unfortunately, the world believes that the token outward act of water baptism can save their souls and keep them saved. This is not true.
Yeah, the Church of Christ believes that, you know, you can just be baptized with water and that means that you're saved. They don't even really mention the blood of Jesus. It's a bloodless cult. So you must be washed in the blood of Jesus. And you hear very few evangelists saying, your sins, nothing can take away your sins but the blood of Jesus. You hear very few evangelists mentioning in the sinner's prayer the blood of Jesus. I always, when I'm praying people through, I always tell them, to pray to God, wash me in your precious blood. Wash all my former sins away in your precious blood. Wash all my filthy sins away in your precious blood. And then come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I do that every time I'm praying somebody through. And so few people, they just, okay, now just go to the church, you know, of your choosing. Why, I don't send people to church of your choosing. I tell them you have to go to a spirit-filled church, okay? They say a Bible-believing church. Every church says they believe in the Bible, but very few do. And so the Lord wants us to, and a lot of them say that we don't need to do anything at all after we're saved. But the Bible all the way through says that we're going to be judged for our works and the good works that we do. And that means, and then he tells us that we have to win souls. We have to be filled with the Spirit in order to win a soul. Because if we're preaching the gospel, or if we're and everyone can, they could witness and testify if they believe the Lord enough to get in the Spirit. And you'll see that the words will come right out of your mouth, because it's like a fountain of living water coming up right out of your very right out of your stomach, right out of your stomach, okay? Right out of your skin. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord saved us. He came into this world in the skin. Amen?
Amen.
In the flesh. The Father God, the Holy Spirit was in a man's skin, right in his flesh. Amen? Amen. The Word of God became flesh. The Spirit became flesh. And that was Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And we're the continuation of that Spirit in the flesh. That means we're the continuation of the Lord right here on earth. In other words, we're the continuation of the incarnation of Christ. We're members of His body, and you ought to listen to us. Amen?
Amen.
Not everyone that preaches, because there's a lot of phonies, the Lord said in the last days in chapter 24 of the book of Matthew. But, you know, study the Word so that you can tell who it is that's telling you the truth and who it is that's twisting the Scriptures that is not the truth at all. Okay, let's continue.
The truth of salvation by faith in Christ and by His baptism is clear in God's holy Word. The outward baptism, or immersion in water, is merely an outward symbol of the true baptism, or regeneration, which happens inwardly. This inward condition of baptism must first take place before any convert can be considered a candidate for the outward baptism or immersion in water. The rite of water baptism is a ceremony in Christian churches for those who have been internally regenerated and have entered into the communion of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection by God's actual life entering them.
Right. It's just the same thing as the Lord blowing the Holy Spirit into him. There's no question about it. When the Lord enters into you, the Holy Spirit enters into you. And there's no question that when Mary was conceived Christ, the Holy Spirit entered into her. And it was the Holy Spirit which conceived Jesus. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But still, before he got into the ministry, he went to John. And John said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And the Lord said, suffer it to be so. Because we have to show the world, is what he was saying, that this is something that they must do. They must signify to the world that they are saved, that they are accepting the Spirit of God, and that they're going to come and follow me, that they believe me, the Messiah. Because those that believe not in the Messiah are damned, and those that believe the devil, those that believe believe on Christ are saved, and those that believe not in Christ are damned. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. So we do have to, as he says, come and follow me. Now that means that he was baptized, so we have to follow that rule. And then he tells them, then we saw that he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he says, that's part of following him. That's what he came to show us to do. Then he instructed his disciples to go to Jerusalem and tarry there until the power of God from on high comes. And then the tongues of fire came upon them, and it was like a mighty wind came rushing in, and they were all speaking in other tongues. Amen. Well, that was for them, these liars say today. But my God, in this world, the Bible says that we're living in the worst of all times. We need the power. The Lord, we need the power more today than they did back then. The Lord said, this is the most wicked of times that we're living in right now. And he said, ye shall have power. God's power, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit comes upon you, when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so be sure to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, the sign that you have it is that you speak in tongues. It doesn't mean that you're going to speak in tongues all the time. And he that speaketh in tongues edifieth himself. Because when you're speaking in the tongues of angels, when the Spirit is praying through you and your tongue is loose and you start praying to God and praising Him, you don't even know what you're saying, because the Bible says that there's words that you could be so vexed and troubled, like you hear some kind of people saying that they want to commit suicide. But if you get a hold of the Lord, the Spirit will come and quench all these desires, these wicked desires, that if you commit suicide, you're going to spend eternity in hell. If you think things are bad here, and you have to receive that, because, you know, people say, well, I need somebody to lean on. Everybody in this world is going to fail you. The only one that will never fail you is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you put all your trust in Him, and remember that when you're going through trials and tribulations, just fill yourself up with the Word of God and start praying to the Lord, and start praying to Him for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to give you the power to not receive any evil things such as suicide or drugs or narcotics or alcohol or sex, illicit sex. Now, sex is fine in marriage. I mean, if you're two Christians and you get married, but some people say, well, I got married out of, they were not of the Lord. You're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, or you're going to live a life of misery and pain. And, you know, God will allow it to happen because you're disobeying His word. So let's continue on now.
The command of Jesus was that those who are to be baptized in water must previously have been made, quote, the sons of God, unquote, by God's life in them.
That's what John the Baptist told the Pharisees. He said, I'm not going to baptize you bunch of snakes. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they know the word better than anybody. They actually knew that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and they knew just approximately the time and all that, but they wouldn't even go to see Him. They knew the word, but the Lord even said, do what they say, but don't do what they do. They're hypocrites. And the whole world today is filled with hypocrites. A lot of people know the word, and a lot of them know a false version of the word as well, but they don't. They're not born again of the Spirit, and that's what the Lord wants you to do, is invite Him into your heart. Ask Him to wash you in His precious blood, and ask you for the Holy Spirit to come in and give you power, and to lead, guide, and direct you. And it's turn your entire life over to Him, because there isn't anything in this world to live for but Christ. And if you the Bible says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for those that love Him and do what He says. And He totally tells you to not plan to murder yourself or anyone else, because no murderer shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you murder yourself, that means, see, your body is supposed to be the temple of God. He wants to live in there, and you don't belong to yourself, because He died for you and paid the price for your soul. And you're supposed to be obedient to Him. You must believe. You must be born again of the Spirit in order for you to be able to start thinking the right way. The people don't realize that. They say, well, I just need somebody to counsel me, and I'll go to the Bible for your counsel. Amen?
Amen.
Or listen to me, and I'll Amen. Counsel you, because it's the Lord that's talking right through me right now.
Amen.
And those of you that know the Lord, you know that that's the Lord talking through me. And those of you that don't even know the Lord, you know that this is something that is gratifying your soul. It's edifying you, and is telling, giving you direction and purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Lord wants to live in your body. And if you put your body to death, that's the tent. God wants to use your body for His temple. Okay? And if you destroy that body, He'll destroy your soul. Okay, that's a promise. All right, now go ahead.
No church hierarchy has the right to modify or dispense with this command of Christ, because the pattern of everything was given by Him to the New Testament church for the duration of the world. This rite proclaims the fact that the believers have received the life of God in Christ in the Spirit into their spirits. These are disciples, and this is inward baptism. Water baptism is an ordinance instituted by Christ, just as being a witness for Christ is an ordinance to disperse His word into others. It has been practiced by the apostles and the members of the New Testament churches from the day of Pentecost until the day of Christ's second return.
And the Bible says that this baptism of the Holy Spirit was not just for the people back then. He said it's for people in the future. Amen?
Amen?
All of us. We need that power today more than they did. But they needed it as well, because there certainly was the devil around then too. God is around all the time, and so is Satan. okay, until the Lord cast him into hell. So don't believe the people that say that you're not supposed to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit, and they're the ones that are saying no one can be perfect. You know, this Charles Stanley, he says, no one can be perfect, and God understands, and he loves you unconditionally. But let me tell you, that man is lying to you. Why? I guess maybe he likes to sin. Something's wrong with that man. And so some people, Charles Stanley would never sin. The reason I have to uncover him is because I don't want you to believe what he's saying, because the Bible is completely contrary to that. With God, everything is conditional. Don't think that God... Jesus says, you are my friend if you do everything I say. Amen?
Amen.
And those that continue to the end shall be saved, not those that stop. And the Apostle James, by the Holy Spirit, says, I'll show you my faith by my works. And Jesus said, we're going to be judged by our works. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus said, if we're not soul winners, the Lord's going to come and chop us down. We'll be hewn down and cast into a fire. You have to be a witness for the Lord in this world. And you can't be a witness if you're not, if you only have the inward baptism. You must be baptized in the Holy Spirit to do a work for the Lord. That is the power of God to do his work. And you need him to tell you what to say and what to do and where to go and where not to go. Amen?
Amen.
And you know not to go back to the whorehouse. And you know, you pimps, to not be a pimp anymore. Amen?
Amen.
And you know not to allow any filth to come into your spirit. Because if you let these evil things come into your spirit, then that's what's going to be in your spirit. I heard a preacher the other day saying that if you, he says, you can't just listen to every kind of garbage that's on television, he said, any more than you can go to a garbage can and go hunting through it and then come up with a good biscuit. I thought that was very good. Amen. It's a good analysis of what you got to let all good, pure, clean gospel food come into you. The Word of God is food, as the Lord said, and the Word of God is spirit and it's drink. It's food and drink. Jesus is food and drink. You wouldn't rummage around in the garbage pail to get yourself something to eat, would you?
No.
Or in the toilet? Well, if you're looking at television and all the other places, that all the corruption in this world, that's what you're doing. You're looking for something. You're a garbage picker. I saw one like that when I was a kid. All the kids called her Spit Two Nanny. She'd go from one garbage can to another with this little wire cart with wheels on it. And she'd rummage around and everything so often she'd find a treasure in there. Okay? But she always had this tweed coat and holes in it and everything. You know, this devil gets a hold on to people like that. I felt sorry for her, and I still feel sorry for her today. Now I'm sure that she's dead and gone, because this is like a long time ago. She was an old lady then. This is way past 50 years ago, 60 years ago. So don't let anything that you're letting into your spirit is garbage. And don't expect the Lord to let you enter heaven with all this sewer in you, okay? Because Satan is constantly, from every angle, constantly bombarding your mind with garbage. And every so often he'll give you a nice tasting little biscuit. Okay? But you sniff it first. Read the Word of God so that you can smell the sewer on it. Okay?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Now what else?
Baptism, regeneration, is the promise found in these words of Christ. Quote, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Yeah, unquote. If you love him, that's the condition. If you love me, you'll keep my words. But if you're not keeping his words, that shows you don't love him. And if you don't love him, he doesn't. I mean, he loved you enough to die for you and shed his blood for you and offer you the kingdom of heaven. But if you don't keep his words, then you don't love him. In other words, the Bible, Jesus himself says that you're damned if you don't love the word of God. Amen? The word of God is Christ, and the word of God is God. Okay? So that's conditional. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. In other words, we have to keep our minds on Christ, the word of God. Everything else that tries to enter in is from the garbage. Yeah, everything else is sewer. All right? So we got to keep on. All so easy. Just read the Bible and do what the Lord says. And that's the condition. He doesn't love you unconditionally. He says, if you love me. He's that person that says he loves me. And keeps my commandments. If a person says he loves me and keeps not my commandments, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. Amen?
Amen.
And no liar shall enter the kingdom of God. Okay? I can't soft soap that. I mean, that means exactly what it says. Many people say they love Christ, but they don't keep his commandments. And when they say they love him and don't keep their commandments, they're liars. And the truth is not in them. In other words, and he is the truth. That means that Jesus is not in you. And so if he's not in you, you're not getting into heaven, because the requirement is that the Spirit of God has to be in you. Christ has to be in you in order for you to be resurrected. The Bible says if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you, then he says he'll raise you up from the dead on the last day. But if the same Spirit does not dwell in you that was in Christ, then you're going downward. Now that's the real Bible, friend. That's the real Bible. Okay, continue on, please.
Quote, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Unquote. Quote, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts.
Does that say he's going to do away with the law?
No.
You know, he said he's going to put his law in your heart, in your inward parts, in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
So people say, well, the law is over with. No, the Lord said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came here to fulfill it. The law is always there. That's why he had to fulfill the law. He had to come and pay the price for our sins. And then by shedding his blood and then going to hell for us. And he says he sacrificed his life so that we could be forgiven for our former sins. But if after we've been forgiven and then we start breaking the law again, there remains no more forgiveness for you. Therefore, you're damned. So the Bible says we have to tank ourselves up with the baptism of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis with the Word of God so that we don't sin again, because the Bible says he that sinneth is of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and the Apostle Paul talks about this great falling away just before Christ comes back. And you hear the whole Christian realm, all this supposed to be charismatic movement, they're believing all this heresy, and that's what the big falling away is, and that Paul said would happen just before Christ comes back to earth. Don't think that the Lord's coming back to earth again until you see first the falling away of the church and then Satan entering in the temple of God. Well, a lot of people think it's going to build a temple of God out of clay or some kind of building material in Jerusalem. That wouldn't be the temple of God. The Bible says, know you not that you are the temple of God? So the Satan is going to come and enter into you. Okay? If you don't keep your mind on the Lord. You are the temple of God. Know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? God doesn't make temples anymore out of bricks and mortar and clay and boards and anything like that. You're the temple of God. So you have to guard your soul, your spirit, your mind. This is why the Bible tells you to put on the full armor of God, to be armed with the armor of God, the Word of God. The war that we wage against Satan, that we fight Satan with, is the Word of God, not with bullets, bombs, and tanks, and airplanes, and atomic bombs, and nuclear warfare or germ warfare, we fight him with the Word of God. And that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm telling you how to fight and how to, you must be baptized. You must be born again of the Spirit inwardly, and you must be baptized outwardly, okay, for the ministry. And the Lord wants you to minister. He says to do what he says. Amen. You can't do what he says unless you have the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and on a daily basis. Then what?
Quote, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Unquote. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus regarding this true internal baptism, saying, quote, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Unquote. This means that our old lives and the world must be done away with, crucified, and kept buried under water in the death of Christ's crucifixion and burial. Then we must resurrect from death by the Holy Spirit, by the life of God in Christ in us. If this born-again of the Spirit experience does not happen to us, we will not be able to see the kingdom of heaven. Quote, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Unquote. Knowledge is of the mind, but salvation, regeneration, or baptism must occur in the Spirit by the life of God living in our spirits. We are the image of Christ, his body, created specifically for him to live in.
That's why he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will enter into them. You must let him enter in. Just say, open your heart and say, let me in, Lord, and wash me and cleanse me. He won't come into an unclean vessel, so you must be washed in the blood of Jesus first. And then ask him to come in, and he will, with the Father by the Spirit. Then what?
The devil has the knowledge of the Bible, but it is only an intellectual knowledge. His heart does not love the things of God. Therefore, they are not received into his heart. Hence, he can never be born again of the Spirit by the life of God in Christ, and he was never created for God to live in as man was. But our faith and our love for the entire inward baptism experience and for its continuation in us, the very life of God enters into us, his image moving us from our carnal life and world into God's spiritual realm, his life and his world. This is being, quote, born again of the Spirit, unquote. This is inward baptism, the baptism of God's life in us, which is what Jesus meant in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Our faith in this inward baptism makes us one in God's life in Christ. This inward baptism is our oneness with God.
Right, once he mingles his spirit with ours, we're one. Amen?
Amen.
Our spirit, our temporal spirits are not long. They don't live long. But when we're mingled with the Spirit of God, the eternal Spirit of God, then we live forever. Amen?
Amen.
In heaven. Then what?
This inward baptism makes us the bride of Christ, the church, Christ's body, and God's house, the New Jerusalem, quote, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, Christ, unquote. How ignorant are those who feel that water baptism is salvation. They may think ignorance is bliss on this side of eternity, but God's salvation and righteousness does not and will never honor or deliver a person on the day of judgment for their deliberate ignorance or deliberate stupidity. God's heavenly realm is the opposite of the carnal world. If we must learn about the carnal world, which is temporary, in order to get along in it, then how much more must we learn about God's invisible spiritual realm, which is eternal, in order to get along with him in it and abide there forever? We are only saved by getting out of the carnal world and entering God's heavenly realm so that God's life may live in us while our bodies are used by him for his purpose during our lifetime here in the carnal world. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, quote, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Unquote. This is true baptism, which is also true regeneration, salvation. Ezekiel chapter 47 talks about a river flowing from the throne of God. Jesus told of this in the New Testament, quote, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life," unquote. This inward baptism or regeneration by God's life entering our spirit, which Jesus spoke of in verse 6 of the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, is a continuous baptism of God's life in us, perpetuated by our prayerful studying of His Word and our receiving it in our hearts. In this way, we will receive His instructions into not only our mind, but more importantly, into our hearts, because God's Spirit and God's life needs to be not in our mind, but in our spirit in order for life to occur in our spirit. That life, the seed, the Word of God, must enter our spirit. God's life entering into our spirit gives us our very eternal life. Here the same scripture speaks of the water of life, which is Christ, who floods our old world by our faith in Him. Then God's very life, which is Christ, enters our spirit, giving us the life of God in us. The life and the Word of God is Christ. Christ is also He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, as well as the resurrection. As we study Him, the Word, we are kept strong and continuously baptized by God's life in us. Quote, "For if we be dead to the world with Him, we shall also live with Him eternally," unquote. The Holy Word of God states that before we are regenerated, we are, quote, "dead in trespasses and sins," unquote. The Word of God says that, quote, "The dead, the unregenerated, know not anything." This should deflate the ego of every unsaved human being.
Yes, all you people in the world that are not, that you're dead in your sins and trespass, the Bible says the dead knows nothing. You don't know anything. Because what good is it if you live and die and you didn't know Christ? You didn't know Christ in order to get into heaven. You're going to hell. So what good is your life if you don't get right with the Lord? We live here. This is like a dressing room for eternity. You can either dress up for eternity here and enter into the kingdom of God, or you can just reject any of this and dispense it as nothing more than foolishness. But I would advise you to receive what you're hearing. Then go ahead.
When it comes to the important matter of the spiritual world, they know nothing at all. It is of the utmost importance that the following commandment of Jesus be followed to the letter. That commandment is, quote, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," unquote. What are mere men that they should disbelieve their Creator's word? It is only by the acceptance of God's word that we are saved. Having faith in Jesus means having faith in everything that He said and commanded. We show our faith in what He commands by doing what He says. According to God's word, faith is not enough. Quote, "The devils also believe, have faith, and tremble, but they are not saved because they are not baptized. The life of God is not alive and functioning in them. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead," unquote. Without God's life living and working in us, our faith is as dead as the faith of the devils.
Okay, I see our time is up now. And so let's get saved out there, all of you. If you're in a vehicle, pull the vehicle aside. There isn't anything more important. You say, "Well, I'm going to be late for an appointment." Forget the appointment. Be late. Okay, it's better for you to be late than it is for you to maybe you'll get something will happen to you on the way to your appointment. But let's take care of the most important thing first. Okay, if you're parked, and those of you that are not driving, we're talking about being baptized inwardly. Let's do that. Why don't you want to do that right now and take care of your soul, the life, for life eternal? Why don't you repeat after me, but say it to God with all your heart and soul. "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now just raise your hands and give the Lord the glory for doing this, for accepting you. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, living God. Hallelujah. Our time is up now, and therefore we're going to continue baptism. It's very important for you to know this because so few people do. Until tomorrow, part two of baptism. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord.